Blog Talk Radio.
Live, we're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. And as I watch the Washington Nationals and the Mets on Sunday Night Baseball, I'm seeing everybody wrapped up. I am so glad I got out of the New York area. It has been a brutal winter in the Northeast. They had snow again over the weekend, and it is close to the middle of April. Here in the Carolinas where I live now, it's actually a little chilly in the 50s, but over the weekend in the 70s, watching lots of baseball on the television, just a fantastic weekend. I hope you guys enjoyed your weekend as well. But watching the game, Adrian Gonzalez just came up to bat. I'm like, wow, he hasn't done anything this year at all. Is this guy just done? Of course, he yokes a granny. So the Mets up 4-2. Matt Harvey with a really good outing his last time out, first time of the season. Roughed up in the first inning for 2 runs. I haven't seen what his velo is sitting tonight. Hopefully I'll be able to check that out here at the next inning. But I had heard that his velocity is still down. And if it is, boy, I tell you, then it just becomes razor thin. His command has just got to be spot on. He's got to have great control for him to be, you know, more than a fourth pitcher in a major league rotation. And it becomes questionable whether he is fantasy relevant. I have him on a couple of teams. I don't even know if I'm playing. I think he's benched until further notice. But so anyway, that's this evening's game. Didn't get a chance to watch. I did watch a lot of baseball over the weekend. Not a lot on Sunday as I was and tied up in other types of activities. But I got caught up this evening, and the great Tim McLeod, as soon as he joins, he and I will be talking baseball, talking fantasy baseball. He's written his waiver wire, which is 20 names of just pure gold that he's written, just fantastic stuff. Guys, if you want to get a hold of us, you can do that via the Twitter at TimothyLMC for the great Tim McLeod, at Rich Wilson P361 for myself, at Rich Wilson P361. If you want to support the show, you can do that a couple of different ways. One is, by all means, go out to iTunes and rate and review us. We appreciate positive ratings. If you hate the show, say that as well. But we love any reviews that you get out and do that. It does help the ratings. It pushes up in the rankings and allows exposure to a lot more people. And if you want to go out and read our stuff, you can do that out on prospect361.com. I write about prospect. Tim writes about fantasy. All of our stuff is out there. And while you're out there, you can visit our sponsors. They are on the homepage and in the right-hand corner. We've added Amazon now. Amazon's a sponsor of ours. We're going to be doing a lot of baseball card stuff, integrating those into particularly in the kids. So as prospects are coming up, we've worked a deal out with Amazon to kind of put those represented in there. So those of you like the card collect, we'll be able to kind of integrate that stuff together. If you just want to go out and support us, just click on that link, go in and shop on Amazon, and you'll be supporting the show. StubHub out there, MLB Shops, which, you know, a lot of people are doing that, and, of course, Steiner Sports. So we're up to 4 sponsors now. We appreciate any patrons you do with our sponsors. It does help the show keep moving along and the website to keep moving along. Without further ado, let's bring on the great Tim McLeod. Mr. McLeod, good evening.
Good evening, Rich. Did you say the weather was only in the 50s? I drove through snowstorms 2 days ago coming out of New York City, and what a mess.
I tell you, Timmy, you've spent time. Maybe it's your fault. You brought all the cold weather down from Canada. It has been a brutal, brutal week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks here to start the baseball season in the New York area. I'm watching the Mets on television against the Nationals, and Trey Turner looks like he is completely bundled up playing shortstop.
Well, I tell you, it could be my fault because everywhere I've been, within 24 hours of being there, they've got snow. I left North Bay a week ago now, And the day after I left, they got a foot of snow. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It is the spring that just won't rear its head.
Yeah, well, I hear that global warming is a myth, Tim, so it must be that. So that's what somebody said that, so I guess something about it, the Chinese made it up. I don't know, Timmy. I just telling you what the news tells me. I don't know if it's fake news or real news. That's just what I'm hearing. But, Timmy, we're talking cold weather. I know it's going to get warmer here this week, and I think it's going to be the 70s in the Northeast. I know 80 down here in the South. But how are your teams, Timmy? Ice cold or hot?
Sort of in between. Toten Labor, I'm sitting about mid-pack right now. I've got some where I'm in the top three or four. I believe I'm in the lead in a couple. For the most part, I'm pretty happy with the way I've started because I historically never get out of the box fast. Usually, if I'm not, if I'm not in 13th place heading into May, it's some sort of an aberration. So I'm pretty happy with my beginning. How about you, Rich? How's things shaking down in
your
world?
I'm in five Dynasty Leagues in my NFBC League. That's my only redraft league. And Dynasty Leagues, I got three that I'm doing quite well in. I've just gotten out of the blocks really, really quickly. The other two, well, the DL5, I drafted that league last year, and with a eye to probably another couple of years away. And then my first DL Dynasty League, I was doing okay and had a rough day today. So, Timmy, if you have a rough pitching outing, I didn't get any hitting today, and you drop 10, 15 points, and it looks like Armageddon. So, I'm doing okay. And my NFC team, Timmy, no hitting at all. I mean, nothing. My guys have just fallen asleep.
Yeah, I'm struggling more with hitting early on than I am with pitching. When a guy like Ben Attendi gets out of the block slow and you own him in every league, that helps to explain things a little bit. Joey Votto is not off to a real great start the last
terrible
time.
Terrible start. I mean, Votto is the one thing that you can always count on Joey Votto. Oh, you got me saying Votto now. Joey Votto doing is hitting. He ain't hitting a lick. I mean, absolutely not a lick.
No, and if you've got some common themes on your team, which most of us have, let's face it, when you're into multiple teams, you end up drafting some pretty common names that run throughout the course. If they're off to a slow start, well, congratulations, it's not going to help you pretty well right across the board.
Well, Timmy, it just so happens that we're going to talk about those guys that are just off the blistering starts to start off the year. But two guys who are not on this list, and I'm sure the first person I'm going to talk about would be on the list because he just hit his sixth home run of the year, and that is Bryce Harper, Timmy. Blistering hot with six home runs. He looks like he's looking forward to that $300-plus million payday next year.
There's no I in team, is there, Rich? Oh, sorry, sorry. I shouldn't be rude, but I'm still bitter. My preseason prognostication of the Nats falling apart looks like it could have been a little bit more of a reach than even I thought.
Yeah, Timmy, but Harper has been all world, and I mean, he looks locked in, and but he always seems to get injured, Timmy, and then things fall apart on him a little bit. I will say I wasn't worried, Timmy, and I was going to bring this up, but I know he hit a home run. I know he got a stolen base today, but Mike Trout has been sucking wind so far. So,
yeah, I had to laugh. I got a text today in one of my leagues, asking basically if I've had enough of Mike Trout's slow start and would I be entertaining the idea of dealing with him, and all I had to say on that was three letters, L-O-N-L.
Yeah, absolutely, Timmy. The other guy, and I've been dead wrong on this guy, and I'm here to say I'm sorry. I doubt it. Shohei Ohtani, Timmy. And what he has done is flat out remarkable. I mean, I think you could agree. Horrible preseason. I mean, it was terrible. Spring training was terrible. He didn't look ready. I benched him for the first 2 weeks, Timmy. 2 weeks, I'm in one league. he went out today and shoved it. Quality start the first time. But Timmy's hit three home runs. I mean, he looks – and he's fast, man. Somebody told me he had 70-plus grade speed, and I didn't believe it. Again, I haven't timed him in a live game, but I saw him scooting down the first baseline. That dude can move. It's remarkable what we're seeing. Timmy, you are seeing the throwback to Babe Ruth, and if you don't like what's happening with Ohtani, you don't like baseball. It's time to go follow another sport.
Well, yeah, what was he? He went, what, six perfect innings today, I believe, with 10 strikeouts before allowing a hit. The separation on his pitch is amazing. The splitter was splitting. When you come in with a 70-mile-an-hour pitch and then, you know, even into the seventh inning, he was consistently hitting 99 on the gun. That's some serious pitching, Rich. Serious pitching. And he did the three home runs. A little bit of ice cream on the cake.
For sure, Timmy. The arm is special. I mean, he's going to have his struggles. We know he's going to have his struggles. But, man, what he's done for the first 2 weeks, Timmy, three home runs and just shoving it from the pitching mound. Fantasy baseball aside, it's remarkable. It's just absolutely remarkable what he's done.
Who's happier, Rich, us fantasy folks or Mike Trout?
I bet you Mike Trout is because he needed some help. And, I mean, Albert Pujols is not the same guy he was. Justin Upton, I mean, good player, not a great player any longer. Cole Calhoun, I mean, he needed a guy in that lineup that could help. I know he's batting at the end, but it just lengthens that lineup up. And they've got a legitimate front-of-the-rotation guy. And Mike Trout actually might make it back to a playoff game. Maybe he'll actually win one now. It's a really big thing for Mike Trout and the Angels.
Well, yeah, definitely. And you know what's interesting is when you look at the fact, you know, the team has no minor league system, correct?
Well, they have a minor league system, Timmy, and I beg to differ. It's last year this time they had no minor league system. This year I would say they're better. They have Jamiah Jones that drafted a couple of years ago, who is starting to develop into a nice little player. Their first round draft pick this year has done quite well. He's got out of the gates after his draft, so they've got some players, Timmy.
Well, yeah, but when you consider, let's compare them to the Braves. But basically, what I was going to get at was the fact that they could have very easily torn it all down, and they went out and they got Kinsler, they signed Cozart, added Ohtani, and all of a sudden, a team that looked like there was very, very little hope heading into the future has reason to be excited, and that is an incredibly good thing for the game of baseball. As we've seen, so many teams are rolling over and playing dead. It's nice to see a team taking the opposite approach.
Yeah, I mean, and again, Ian Kinsler's way over the hill. Justin Upton's best years are behind him. I think it's still a pretty good player. But not only in their minor league system, you say Ohtani's now graduated. I already mentioned Jamiah Jones. Joe Adell was the guy that they drafted 15th or so last year. He's had a really good season. And Timmy, they signed Kevin Maton. Now, not the same player that we thought he was going to be because he's lazy and put on a lot of weight, but they got him in their minor league system, so it's not a horrible system anymore.
Yeah, no, they've definitely taken steps to head in the right direction, but the direction I like is the fact that they're going for it. That to me is important because not enough teams today are.
Yeah, they're going forward, and they've had a really nice year from a draft standpoint and lucked out picking up Maton. If he can lose some weight and act like he wants to play baseball, I mean, all of a sudden, rarely do you see a major league team get better through free agent acquisitions and doing some of the things they've done and get better from a minor league standpoint. So where you and I were talking about maybe they should just trade Trout and break it down a couple of years ago, they're smarter than we are, Timmy, because they look like they're a playoff contender, and they still got the best player in baseball.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that deal at all. Nothing wrong with that at all.
So, Timmy, let's talk about the five fantasy offensive players after the first 10 days. Again, I wrote this as of last night, so this is the way it was. And I'm just going to read off the names and the stats, and I just want you to, like who doesn't belong, and, like, because this is some crazy names in here. First of all, Dida Gregorius, 8 runs, 3 home runs, 10 RBIs, a 393 batting average, and a 964 slugging. Holy cow. Freddie Freeman, 10 runs, 2 home runs, 10 RBIs, a 409 batting average. Tim Anderson, 7 runs, 3 home runs, 4 stolen bases, a 304 batting average. Matt Davidson, 9 runs, 4 home runs, 8 RBIs, 318 batting average. And Matt Chapman of your Oakland Athletics, 7 home runs, 3 home runs, 7 RBIs, and a 412 batting average. Timmy, I mean, Freddie Freeman is the only, like, legitimate top first, second rounder in there. I mean, Didi Gregorius, who cares about Stanton, Judge, and Sanchez? It's all about Didi Gregorius batting cleanup in that lineup.
Well, yeah, and you know, you could have added the 2 stolen bases for Gregorius if you wanted to, if you wanted to even pile on. That's an interesting group of players. That, you know, when you look at it, you know what? Gregorius is going to have a good year. He's a good player. Tim Anderson, we've been waiting on for a while, and 4 stolen bases, very, very surprising. A hot start. Matt Davidson, yeah, you know, he can park the ball over the fence. There is no doubt. He proved it last year. 318 batting average, I'd say knock about 75, 80 points off that. And Matt Chapman, pretty much the same thing. He's off to a hot start, but there's no way he's a 400 hitter. Small sample size.
Davidson and Chapman at this juncture, Timmy, should be owned in most formats, at least 12 teams and deeper, correct?
All of these guys should be owned in 12 team and deeper. I would say right now, I even go to 10 team on these guys. You know, you got to, when you're playing in a 10 team format, you're going to be shuffling the deck a lot, looking for the hot hand while keeping a solid core. At least that's the way I've played it. So if I was in a 10 team league, these guys would be rolled out. They'd be going.
It's interesting about Freddie Freeman, Timmy, as you recall last year. He got off to a blistering start and then got hurt, broke his wrist or hand, I can't remember exactly what it was, and was lost for 6 to 8 weeks and still finished off well, and he's back at it again. I mean, Freddie Freeman, a guy who came up relatively young with the Braves, they paid him a lot of money, and he was good, not great, but the last couple of years, he's really taken off. And in an on-base percentage league, this guy is money because he just gets on base a ton.
Well, yeah, and moving forward, I could see him possibly being, you know, moving up a notch or two. Our Canadian friend in Cincinnati isn't getting any younger, Rich, so it wouldn't surprise me to see Freeman sneaking into the first round next year towards the back of it, if he can maintain this sort of pace.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like he might be replacing maybe Votto, as you were saying, but definitely Anthony Rizzo has gotten off to a terrible start. Now he's got some back issues, and maybe everything's related to the back problems that he's had. But, you know, Rizzo wasn't Rizzo last year either. So maybe Freddie Freeman is now replacing those guys to be after Paul Goldschmidt as the second-best first baseman in the game.
Well, yeah, and you know, you look at this list, and here's a couple names to add to it, Rich, that have made a big difference in my case. Josh Reddick, he hit his 3rd home run today. He's batting .340. A good friend of ours that we have mentioned over and over and over, you know, in the past several years, Gregory Polanco, he hit his 3rd homer today to go along with 13 RBIs and 8 walks. There were some questions, and so far they're off to an amazing start.
Yeah, I literally went to CBS, Timmy, and wrote down the first 5 names, and now with Bryce Harper's next home run, he's actually the 2nd. He hasn't overcome Didi Gregorius yet, but he's now ranked 2nd. Charlie Blackmon after that, Carlos Correa having a good year. Here's a guy, Timmy, that we talked about changing his swing mechanics after J.D. Martinez joined. That's Xander Bogaerts, off to a really nice start, batting .371 with 2 home runs, and I believe a granny thrown in there. And you mentioned Gregory Polanco, high on the list. Adam Eaton, with you know, the big game that he had, also off to a blistering start as well. And a guy that I didn't believe in, Timmy, got off to a blistering start when he came into the league last year. I think I've said blistering now 100 times, so I apologize. I'll come up with a new word, Timmy, I promise. Was Rhys Hoskins. Rhys Hoskins,
yes.
Only with one home run, but batting 435.
Yeah, and you know what? If his manager would let him play the whole game, he might even have better numbers, right?
Yeah, that's true. They put a 20 spot up yesterday. I don't know if you heard, Tim, but
no.
Two grand slams. That's pretty hard to do.
Yeah, that's a good day, yes, very much so.
And so, Timmy, let's talk about the top five fantasy pitchers. Again, just went down the list at CBS. The first one's a bit of a shocker, and then we've got some familiar names in there. But one, I can tell you, Clayton Kershaw is not on this list, and neither is Max Scherzer. But at the top of this list is Patrick Corbin, 13 innings pitch, 20 strikeouts, a 1.39 ERA. Luis Severino, who I always thought would be a reliever, wrong on that. The guy looks like a top-of-the-rotation arm. Similar to Patrick Corbin, a few less 14 innings, Sean Manaea. Really coming to his own with Oakland, 15 and two-thirds inning, 11 strikeouts, a 1.15 ERA. David Price, who Tim and I have a bet on. I'm clearly winning that bet now, Tim, because I don't know. You didn't have against Manaea, Severino, Corbin. 14 innings pitched, 10 strikeouts, 3 walks. He hasn't given up a run yet. And then Jakey DeGrom, just doing Jake DeGrom stuff, 11 and two-thirds innings pitched, 12 strikeouts, 4 walks, 1 win, and a 1.54 ERA. First of all, Patrick Corbin, is this for real?
No. It's not for real. Not remotely.
You're shattering dreams at 9:30 in the evening on a Sunday.
I know. Somewhere there's something sacrilegious about that, Rich, but I'm ignoring it for now. No, come on. Patrick Corbin, I don't care how many humidors he's got in his back pocket, is not that good. Yes, he's definitely going to have a better year than we have seen from him, definitely. But I'd be shocked if his ERA is under, by the end of the year, I'll pick 350 plus on the ERA.
I mean, Timmy, you're the great Tim McLeod. I'm sure you are correct, but he's a lefty, right? So
yep.
Patrick Corbin's a lefty. Velo is sitting about 93 miles an hour, which is pretty good.
Yep.
He was an up-and-coming kid until he blew out his elbow, had Tommy John surgery a few years back, and really struggled because I owned him in a fantasy league and wound up dropping him, but always had the talent. And 20 strikeouts in 14 innings? I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, how many times have they played the Marlins, I wonder?
So Arizona, I think, started off against Colorado, which is a pretty good hitting team. So they haven't played. I don't know. Have they played Miami yet?
I don't know. I was just being sarcastically snarky. How's that, Rich? When I look at the 20K.
Yeah. Let's see who he's gone against, Timmy. So it's a really good. So we'll take the game log. Colorado and the Dodgers. So Colorado, both at home. So the humidor was working, and the Dodgers stink, Timmy. I mean, they've really gotten off to a rough start. Man, the same thing happened without Justin Turner last year for a call. They couldn't hit a lick, and they came back, and they became the Dodgers again. But it is strange how one guy appears to make such a difference in that team.
Well, yeah, I'm wondering, you know, with Colorado, Rich, you know, I'm looking at 20Ks. Did he strike out Trevor Story 11 times by any chance?
No, he's just not giving in. Timmy's just pounding. Mr. and Mrs. Corbin, we're so sorry that the great Tim McLeod, the kind man from Canada, is just pounding on your poor son. He is a fine pitcher and will make a lot of money. Don't listen to this man up in Canada. I'm defending Patrick Corbin, Timmy, even though I don't own him anywhere.
Yeah, I was going to say between the two of us, my guess is that neither one of us owns them anywhere because we have in the past, right?
I have in the past, and I tell me I dropped them. I didn't trade them. I dropped them. I dropped them. And this is the thanks I get. 20 strikeouts and 2 walks. Luis Severino.
And you're defending him, Rich.
I know. I mean, I haven't seen a pitch, but I always thought he could do it. And, you know, I just think it took him a while to recover. You're right. He's probably going to be a league average pitcher, but I mean, he's hot right now, and that's all that matters. Luis Severino, Tim, again, wrong about Luis Severino. I thought he'd be a reliever. Just never got any power out of his legs at all. He was all arm. I watched him pitch his last out. It's still the same delivery. I still think he's an injury waiting to happen, but man, that kid can pitch. He's got great stuff.
Oh yeah, he does have great stuff, and he's off to a good start. But you know, his career is still in its infancy. You could still very well be right long term about his eventual destination. He's not a big man, is he?
No, he's not, Timmy. But so far, I look pretty dumb on that one. But man, I always loved the arm. I just didn't like the body. I didn't like the delivery, and it just screamed being a reliever. But you know, right. Hey, you're not always right on these things. Sean Manaea, Timmy always had top of the rotation stuff. I saw him in high A once, and I didn't like what I saw back then. But he's definitely become more of a complete pitcher, and I mean, he's bringing it early.
Yeah, definitely. 15 2/3 innings pitched. A week and a couple days into the season. That's definitely a good sign. Also, the one base on ball, another very good sign. I think we're looking at a hot start, and I think he'll settle in to be more of a slightly above average type starter. But hey, enjoy the early ride. Definitely set the gate strong.
Yep. We do have a bet, steak and liquor bet, on David Price, Timmy. I was a little bullish on David Price. I don't like the stat line so far. I mean, 10 strikeouts, 3 walks, pretty good, but over 14 innings. I don't know how great that is. He hasn't get up an ERA yet. His velocity looks solid. I mean, he had a pitch better than he did last year. Maybe he's getting more comfortable in Boston, but I mean, clearly he's going to give up a run. But where do you see him whining at the end of the season here?
I'm still concerned about that arm. I would be ecstatic if David Price reverted back to the form that we saw, you know, 2 years ago or in Tampa Bay. But I still have some concerns. I want to see a few more innings before I'm jumping all over that bandwagon.
A couple other guys to me. I just want to draw your attention. I'm now back on CBS's, you know, resorting after yesterday's games. And the guy that I picked for my dark horse for Cy Young in the American League, Gerrit Cole, Timmy, shoving it. 14 innings pitched, 22 strikeouts, sub-1 ERA, sub-1 whip. And he's going to win a ton of games. I know he didn't win that 1-0 game. I think the Astros, I don't know if you saw the game, Timmy, they won on a pop-up in the infield. So just a complete misplay by I forgot who they were playing, some lousy team. Oh, the Padres. And but Gerrit Cole, man, first two games, he's just lights out.
Yeah, he's been absolutely amazing to start the season. And yet, you know who else is off to a really good start, Rich, that there were some serious question marks around, is Michael Fulmer in Detroit, a .680 ERA. That's not a bad way to get rolling.
Absolutely not. He just doesn't strike out guys anymore.
No, the strikeout rate's definitely down, but he's been very, very effective.
Here's a couple other guys, Timmy, that are high on the list. Rick Porcello, back. Seems like always a year on, a year off. Masahiro Tanaka, off to a really nice start. Johnny Cueto, off to a really good start. And the San Francisco Giants, beating up on the Dodgers and off to a really nice start. And then finally, Jose Berrios, Timmy, a kid that we've been waiting on for a long time, 13 2/3 innings, 13 strikeouts, 1 walk, a 3.29 ERA. Off to a very, very nice start.
Yeah, did you by any chance catch Jameson Taillon's effort today?
I didn't see it, but I saw the stat line because he beat up on my buddy Tyler Mahle. So I think it was a complete game, wasn't it?
Yeah, complete game, one hitter. And unfortunately, it looks like Eugenio Suarez is going to be MIA for a while. Broken
thumb. Did not hear. oh, that's bad, because you get anything to do with the hands, when you come back to me, the power's usually zapped.
Yeah, my Tote Wars team is not happy right now. If Tyon wasn't Canadian, I'd probably find a way to cut him in all my leagues, but I can't. Out of just pure nationalistic pride. How's that?
Absolutely, Timmy. So let's take a quick break. I'm not sure where I think we're going to do news and notes when we get back, but great show so far, Timmy. We'll see you around the corner here. It's so awesome talking baseball, isn't it, Tim?
Yeah, it really is. You know, we spend a lot of time in the off season. You know, we look at prospects and we go through the whole process of analyzing, and it's a lot of work and a lot of fun, but nothing beats showtime, Rich. It's game time, and I'm loving it.
So, again, I wrote this these notes yesterday, Tim, before Shohei Ohtani's outing. And, you know, I know we've already talked about that, but I'm going to say early last week, I got a Twitter request going, hey, Jose Ramirez for Ohtani. And I just thought it was a sucker bet. I know Ramirez has got off to a really, really tough start. But I just can't believe maybe Ohtani in a daily moves league, maybe. I just can't believe that Ohtani at the end of the day is going to put up a better overall stat line than Jose Ramirez.
Well, you know what? If he continues to pitch the way he has in his first two outings, it's a small sample size. I don't, you know, he's going to have, he's a kid. He's 23 years old, working in a new environment, a new game. He's going to have days where he struggles. You know, the stuff is real. I believe he's going to be a great pitcher. But if you're in a daily moves league and you can take advantage of the bat and you can take advantage of the arm, that might not be all that crazy a deal. Ohtani could out-earn Jose Ramirez if you can, if you're playing in a format that allows you to take advantage of his skills.
I love the story, Timmy, and I'm really hoping that he wins both the Cy Young and MVP. I mean, that would be awesome to do a Justin Verlander. Don't think that's going to happen. I still believe the pitchers are going to catch up to him. And I just don't know how many games he's going to start. I mean, he didn't pitch at all last season, or just a handful of innings. And you know they're going to be easy with the guy, right? So don't you think it's more like 25, 26 starts as opposed to 32 starts from him?
Yeah, I would anticipate 165 innings or so max, somewhere in that range. But 165 innings of, let's just toss a number out, 3.30 ERA. And
with
20 home runs.
180 strikeouts too, maybe. 180 strikeouts.
Well, exactly. And then you throw in 20 homers and 65 RBIs. Because it's a daily league and you can work him into your DH slot, you add the two of them together and he'll outproduce Jose Ramirez, unless Ramirez has an amazing year.
It's a fair point, Tim. I think it's going to come with a low batting average. And I do think the 20 home runs is real, right? Because he's only going to get 17 more. He's got, 20 weeks to do it in, so that's not so bad.
No. The odds after this past week have improved rather drastically. If you asked people 2 weeks ago, okay, well, how many homers is Ohtani going to hit? My guess would have been most people would have said, oh, I don't know, 5 to 8, but who cares, right?
Yeah. I would have thought 10, yeah. I thought 10. That's where I have 10 to 12 home runs. Yeah, it's
right.
You know, it's just kind of a pinch hitter kind of guy that's going to bat 220. And, no, he's got ridiculous power, Tim.
Well, yeah. But so, what did he do this spring? Was he just sucking us in, Rich, or was he actually learning the game and taking advantage of spring training to the American game? You know, hey, three weeks ago, it's crazy.
Somewhere along the way, Timmy, I heard, and maybe I misheard this, or the guy was making it up. This is completely unverified. that he used to have slow starts in spring training in Japan as well, and just, you know, would look terrible and then start hitting home runs and start pitching lights out. And it was exactly the same thing he did in Japan. And people were saying, well, of course, that's how he's always been.
Yeah, he hasn't always been like that over here, though, has he?
No, it's just the first go around. So let's move over to the Yankees. We already talked about Didi Gregorius, but the triumphant of Stanton, Judge, and Sanchez, they've got off to a slow start. I mean, Stanton's below the Mendoza line. Sanchez is now banged up a little bit. I think he has two hits or something like that. He does have a home run. I do own him in one league, and I can tell you he's sucking wind. Judge hasn't shown the power yet, but yeah, he's playing okay. But do we need to be worried about these guys at all?
No, I don't see any reason to be concerned. Unless, of course, Sanchez has lingering effects because of the current injury that he's working his way through. Yeah, the skill is all. I don't believe Judge is a 50 home run bat. I think Aaron Judge is a high 30s home run bat. Stanton 60. Yeah, I wouldn't be at all shocked to see Sanchez, if healthy, have more home runs than Judge. But, you know, Judge will walk. The Yankees don't have to be concerned about those three getting off to a slow start. They got Didi. They don't need anything more, right?
Well, should fantasy owners be worried? I mean, it's been now 10 days, 11 days. You know, we see Stanton and Judge and Sanchez together. Any concern if you're a fantasy owner?
Well, you know, being that I don't own any one of the three in any of the gazillion leagues I'm in, I'm perfectly fine with the slow start anyways, Reg.
Well, your buddy here, Tim, owns both Stanton and Sanchez. So, and we have, I don't know, I think last week I got 22,000 downloads. So there's a lot of people that own them. Timmy, talk us off the ledge.
Is it in DL5? If it is, I can push. Does that help? Or DL2.
I'll speak for it. We shouldn't be too worried. I am a little worried about Sanchez and the injury. But, also, he didn't play well in the playoffs last year. But I agree with Tim. I think he's got more – he does have more raw power than Judge, but he might have more in-game power than Judge. So I wouldn't be surprised if one day Sanchez is hitting more home runs than Judge, and that's blasphemy to say, but it could possibly happen. Timmy, Jake Lamb hits the DL, shoulder sprain, could be lost for 3 weeks. They don't have much there. Devin Marrero coming over from the Red Sox. Daniel Descalso, they seem to be getting the at-bats. What do you think? Any love there at all for those two guys?
Absolutely none. That's a situation where I think you can look in other areas, Rich. On a positive note, Jake Lamb's batting average against southpaws will not get any worse while he's on
the field. Oh. Tim, you're on fire, man. You're just oozing with snark the 99. It's just...
Thank you, my friend. It's all that snow I've been driving through. I got to vent somehow, okay?
But by the way, where are you anyway?
Right now, I'm in London, Ontario. I spent the afternoon with Brett Selinger and Benny Jimmy James. We had pizza, talked some baseball, watched Otani. It was a nice afternoon.
Benny Jimmy James, a guy with three first names, Timmy. Tough to trust a man with three first names. I'm just saying.
Well, the first thing I said was, yeah, what would you prefer I call you?
Exactly. Benny Jenny.
I just want to make sure I got the name right. Hey, but no, great people. And it was a fun afternoon. It really was.
That's awesome, Timmy. When are you going back to Fort Francis?
I'm on my way there now. I've got tomorrow night I'm in Windsor with spending it at Harris. Then I'm south of Chicago to spend an evening watching a friend of mine play the hammered dulcimer, and looking forward to that. Yeah, it's a couple I've known for a long time, and Phil and Barbara are great people. Barbara's a writer and has written, I believe, four or five novels. So I'm looking forward to meeting them, and then I'm gonna see if the good doctor is around on Wednesday. Maybe we can do breakfast. And by Friday, I should be back.
Oh, Dr. Mrsak. That's what sounds like. I've actually had breakfast with the great Dr. Mrsak. A really nice man. I mean, he's really nice. You're really going to enjoy that, Tim.
Well, he's in central Wisconsin now. He's actually only 6-7 hours away from me. That's almost like howdy neighbor.
Yeah, neighbors. I know. But you're going to like that. He's a very nice man. I liked. And plus, he has such a cool career. You're going to really enjoy that conversation, Timmy. So yeah. I need you to do me a favor, though, when you get home.
Okay.
So, first of all, let me ask you a question. Before, you've been gone for, like, how many weeks?
I'm over 4 weeks now, Rich. It'll be close to 5 weeks by the time I get home Friday.
Okay. So, did you clean out your refrigerator before you left?
Of course I did. Everything that could sour hit the garbage.
Well, that's no fun. I was hoping you didn't. And I wanted you to take a video of, like, green milk and things like that. That would have been awesome.
No. Ain't my first rodeo, Rich. I ain't coming home to that treat. No way, Jose.
Well, speaking of treats, Timmy, Preston Tucker is a guy. I know he's on your waiver wire. We'll get that in a few minutes. But he's been doing quite well. He is holding down the fort till Rana Acuña. We got to say it right, Tim. Acuña is ready to go. And any indications of Acuña could be. The end could be in next weekend. It could be the time that he can come up, possibly a week from tomorrow type thing. Is there any possibility that the Braves say, you know, Preston Tucker's doing so well, let's just keep Acuña down a little bit longer?
Well, Rich, I got a question for you, okay? Would the Braves promote a young player that they have control over for the next forever how many years, who's currently 0-for-8 with 3 strikeouts at AAA. I'm just asking for a friend, but is there a possibility they might keep him down for a while?
Well, that would be, boy, small sample size. Let's just say that he has a tough week. But, I mean, you know, they'll have that 7 years of team control. All they're now doing is playing with, you know, arbitration years, and I don't want to go through that whole litany again. Listen back 3 or 4 episodes, you can learn about all the rules around that. That just seems to be silly, Timmy. So, what about Marquez? Why don't they just keep Preston Tucker, go with Acuña, and make Nick Marquez a pinch hitter, a right-handed bat off the or left-handed bat off the bench?
Yeah, that totally makes sense as well. I just think that we're going to see Acuña. We're going to see
Acuña, like Acuña Matata. Acuña.
Okay, I'm kidding, Rich. Ronnie, okay? We're going to see Ronnie. Sometime soon. How's that? And no, I don't think Preston Tucker is going to be a major stumbling block. But at the same point in time, like maybe Ronnie's going to have to work through this little slump before he gets his promotion. How's that?
I mean, he could. So, I mean, people spend a very, very high draft pick. I think he's going to be very good as soon as he gets called up. So, but Preston Tucker, Timmy, it's got to be a guy. You're telling people to pick him up. It's got to be a guy that you roster. I saw the highlights of the Corey Knebel injury, and Timmy, it looked bad. I mean, it's like he was in deep, deep pain. And they're saying at least 6 weeks he's going to be gone. What the heck do you do if you own Corey Knebel?
I'm thinking even after a rather rough first performance, I'm still going with Mr. Barnes.
Justin Barnes?
Jacob, I believe it is.
Jacob Barnes, the other J. So I saw that in your – yeah, I mean, it's there's a slim pickings there, Timmy. I mean, he's a decent pitcher, but there's – what about Josh Hader? Any possibility there that he gets some save opportunities? He's got a great arm.
Yeah, he's got a great arm. He's pitching well, but I think the indications are that Milwaukee wants to leave him in his current role, which is set up possibly two-inning stints in the sixth, seventh, eighth. So I don't I'm not ruling Hader out, but at the same point in time, you know, early indications are that they want to leave Hader where he is, which is a real bummer for us fantasy folk, because we'd love to be seeing him sitting in the ninth inning getting saves, right?
Yep, and Timmy, that was one guy I did get right. I always thought he'd be a reliever and not a starter, and everybody who saw him a couple of years ago in the Arizona Fall League, particularly the guys at the NFBC, and they used to debate me all the time, and that was a reliever body, a reliever arm, a reliever delivery, and he turned out to be a reliever as opposed to Severino. But, man, that guy's got wicked, wicked stuff, particularly from going up against a left-handed batters. I mean, I can't even imagine what that looks like as a left-handed batter coming at you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think too many southpaws are going to be batting much triple digits against
Mr.
No. I think if you've got a 120 batting average against him and you're a southpaw, you should smile, be happy.
Now, Timmy, the last guy I want to talk about before we move on to your waiver wire, and I know you probably don't care about this, but again, 22,000 downloads last week. So just bear in mind, there's 22,000 people who likely own this player. And
yes.
I'm one of them. I own him in one league. And it's Billy Hamilton, Timmy. He finally stole a base on Saturday. Yay, Billy Hamilton. But, Timmy, he ain't playing. When he does play, he's batting ninth. I mean, what? This is not good.
No, and you know, I really don't have any words of wisdom for you 22,000 people that own Billy Hamilton, except
there
I told
comes.
You so, and you shouldn't have drafted him in the first place.
Jeez. I knew it was coming.
I should have said na-na-na-na-na, but I'm not going to be that petty, Rich, okay?
Yeah, we all saw it coming. I mean, it's just a guy with a sub-300 batting average. I don't care if you're as fast as Billy Hamilton in today's modern game. I mean, the metrics say you're probably a fourth outfielder. You're definitely not a leadoff guy. And it took the Reds a little while to figure that out, but they put him where he probably belongs. A good defender. All right, we'll carry your bat for a while, but you're batting ninth, and the fantasy owners can't be happy with that. Timmy, I own him in a dynasty league. I wouldn't draft him now. I would agree with your analysis, but I got him. I'm kind of stuck with him, and I don't even know if I'm going to pick. He's become Jared Dyson, the old Jared Dyson.
Well, yeah, and, you know, you are stuck with him, Rich. You know, you're not going to get anything for the most part in a trade situation. It's like Jonathan Villar is another player that falls into that same category. You got him, you own him, you're gonna ride it out, and eventually someday you're probably going to be the person cutting him, right?
Yeah, that's the way. I mean, somebody offered me at the end of last year something in that DL5 for Billy, but it was a joke. Probably should have taken it, but it wasn't any value there at all. I just, you know, I'm stuck with him. It's just a bad pick by me. I should have known. But I went with a Stanton Billy Hamilton kind of combo in there. I thought it was really cute.
Right.
And the speed's there, but nothing else is there. In an on-base percentage league, as I've said, Timmy, he was a killer last year because he batted leadoff. Not so much this year because he's going to get 150 less at bats.
Well, yeah, I was going to say you're getting the added bonus. He might steal three-quarters of the bases, but he won't kill your OBP numbers nearly as bad as he would batting leadoff. Definitely not.
That's for sure, Timmy. Timmy, when we get back, we're going to do your waiver wire. Guys, you got to check out this waiver wire this week. It is absolutely fantastic. Is there any music playing, by the way? I don't hear any music. Hmm.
No, I can sing. I can sing if you want.
There should be music here. Da, 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 da. Okay, well, we're back, Tim. So just... Okay. I don't know what happened to the music. Let me try it one more time. I'll edit all that stuff out. Let's see. Okay, usually when this happens, Tim, bad stuff happens with Blog Talk Radio. I'm just telling everybody, I've seen this before. This is the beginning of the end for Blog Talk Radio tonight.
Yeah, when has anything bad ever
Yep, I don't know. So there we go. But there's no music, and usually there's no sound 15 minutes later. So that's going to really tick me off because we're having a great show here. Timmy, but we've already put your waiver wire out there. You've got 20 names, and it's fantastic. I mean, just really good stuff. First one is the aforementioned Jacob Barnes. Tell us why you think people should pick him up with Corey Knebel going down.
Well, he got the first opportunity. It was definitely not a success, but I don't see Milwaukee giving up the ghost right away on Mr. Barnes. After all, he was the guy competing with Corey Knebel last year for the job in spring training. He'll get another opportunity, and I think he's the guy to target. And the good news is, with that bad performance, hey, the price has dropped. Enjoy a little bit of a break when you get the guy.
That's amazing. I got to give you a lot of kudos on Mr. Yanni Chirinos, because I'm pretty sure, I don't listen to any other podcast, so maybe it was brought up, but I doubt it. You picked him in Tout Wars, and we talked about him, and you said, and you gave your rationale. He's a command and control guy, but you said, hey, you know, he strikes out a ton of guys. I like him, and you took him as a complete flyer, and darn if he didn't have a really nice outing his first time out. And I smiled when I saw that. I said, damn, Mr. Tim McLeod on it again.
You know, it was a combination of things. The fact that, you know, De Leon and Honeywell aren't in the mix. But, you know, the kid posted a 2.73 ERA at AAA last year. Nothing wrong with that. Those, you know, the strikeouts, I believe, were somewhere in the area of 140 and 168. But 26 walks, like, I just really like the potential, and especially considering the circumstances in Tampa Bay right now. And I'm feeling pretty happy about Mr. Chirinos, and let's see what the next 2-3 starts brings. But I think he's the type of player that you can get now for a good price. So buy him now. Don't wait until he pitches two more great outings, and then all of a sudden you're spending 20% of your fab on him.
Yeah, so everybody, listen, I don't know much, and I'll be honest, I don't know much. What I'm going to tell you is absolutely true. This guy, Tim McLeod, picks these guys up all the time, and I hate him because long-term, Yanni Chirinos is probably a middle reliever. But guys like him, I'm telling you, guys like him who know how to pitch, who pinpoint control, average stuff, they get to the league, and the fact that they can keep players off balance, it will take people several games, possibly a month or 6 weeks to catch up for you. And you'll pick them up when it's too late. And Tim McLeod will have him on your team for the first six or seven games. He'll have the eighth bad game off his team, and Tim's going to make out. He does this all the time, and he wins leagues. I'm telling you, go pick him up because he's not that good. Don't listen to me. He's not that good, but he'll help you win a league. Tell me, I've seen it. We've been together 8 years. I've seen it two or three times every year.
I get lucky every once in a while, Rich. What can I say?
It's not luck. It's not luck. You look for guys that can help you in short spurts. They do, and you win leagues. And I haven't learned yet. But 2 years from now, I'll be right about Yanni Chirinos. You'll go, yeah, he's no good.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I won two leagues.
Well, thanks for the kind words, Rich. I appreciate it. But you're right. These are the opportunities I look for. And the thing is, you want them now when you can get them for next to nothing. Or you want any pitcher early, early, early. So you can swing a very, very small investment. And to those who buy later, who tie up a good chunk of their fab, it limits the opportunities further down the road. So I'm always rolling the dice on guys I can pick up for next to nothing that I think I can get short-term value out of.
Totally agree. Shin-Soo Choo, a flash from the past. Three home runs his last 35 at-bats. OPS of 1.013. Timmy, I mean, he's hot now. Can he keep it up?
Well, I'm not betting on him hitting 60 homers, but I think he's got 25-10 potential, and in 15-team leagues, that's definitely good enough to have him going as your fifth outfielder. So 45%, there's 55% of the teams out of the leagues out there at CBS where he currently isn't owned, and I think he should be.
So, Timmy, I'm watching this game. I mean, you live up in the cold area, this Mets-Washington game as we're talking, and it's cold there. And I only see one player who has that face mask on.
Right.
Nobody else does. Some guys have short-sleeve shirts on. I mean, do you do you like the macho look there, or do you like – and it's Trey Turner. I love Trey Turner as a player, but come on. I mean, do you really want to stay that bundled up, or should you look a little bit more tougher out there hey, this cold weather's not bothering me?
Well, I think part of the problem with Trey Turner is if he could grow a beard, he'd have some insulation. He probably can't yet.
That's a fair point. That's a very, very fair point. Okay, Ryan Flaherty. All it took was a move out of Baltimore. Flaherty immediately becomes semi-relevant. Timmy, Snark was running this morning as well as you're writing this.
Well, yeah, that one's for all my friends in Baltimore, okay? I just couldn't pass that one up. It was there.
Yeah, I mean, he's okay, Timmy. I mean, he's okay. Yeah.
In deeper leagues, yeah.
Dustin Fowler, we both like a lot. You know, he was my dark horse for Rookie of the Year, Timmy. He's got a little power, a little speed, can hit.
Yep.
You know, I like the player a lot. Good call.
You know, it appears as if Oakland's going to bring up Mark Canha. At least that's what the beat reporter for the A's was saying this morning, that Canha was going to get first look. But, you know, Canha and Boot Powell are not the same player or caliber of player, I believe, as Dustin Fowler. I can see Fowler being a regular part of that outfield inside of 2 months. And my train of thought is much the same as Chirino's. Buy him now, stash him on your bench, wait for the eventual arrival, and save yourself a few bucks. Because I think it's only a matter of time.
So as we're spending time on the Oakland Athletics, I was a little surprised. I actually wrote in my introductory remarks to the post that comes out tomorrow is Franklin Barreto's name wasn't on here, and he's getting the call.
I guess I should have had 21 names in my article this week, right?
I just mentioned it. I said a player that we like a lot, and I said I was very kind. I said it was after press time that that I stuck the name in. So,
yeah, you know, the first month of the season, I could probably do 25 different names out there every week, but that's definitely one that I missed. Who hit the DL?
I forgot. Somebody did. Somebody hit the DL. Shall I look? Who's still looking at Barreto? We'll look it up as we keep going. So Timmy, next guy on your list. Oh, see, now I went and looked, and now I lost my place here. That's not it, Tim. Who's next? Oh, there they go. Brian Goodwin, Timmy, been around forever, getting a little bit more playing time in Washington than anybody expected.
Yeah, he's getting a few more at bats, and I think he's got a homer, 7 RBIs. He's off to a decent start. When you start looking at really deep leagues, 20 plus team or NL only, Goodwin deserves a roster spot right about now.
I always like what he's able to do. Chad Pender went down to me. That's who Franklin Barreto comes up and takes a spot off.
Okay.
So I always liked Goodwin. Played very well last year, and part of the reason I didn't think that Victor Robles had a chance to come up is where was he going to play? I mean, Goodwin played okay. I mean, they're going to play Taylor a lot, and there needs to be multiple injuries before Victor Robles got a shot, and I think Goodwin's a nice little call there.
Well, yeah, and even Howie Kendrick's getting at bats. It seems like everybody's getting at bats right now in Washington, and everybody's producing. So, hey, go with the hot hand.
Shane Green is the next one, Timmy. You're talking, hey, you know, he's going to get some saves. There's not going to be a lot of opportunities, but even bad closers and on bad teams get at least 30 saves. Yuli Gurriel, one of your guys rehabbing in Double A. People forgot about it. Still only 51% owned.
Yeah, and he's you know, he's off to a decent start at Corpus Christi. I think he's 4 for 8 with a pair of RBIs. Great role hitting the next weekend. If you have a corner infield problem, he's definitely out there in half the leagues. Take a look.
So the next year, I'm going to group together three young pitchers. Ronaldo Lopez, the most famous of the three, 48% owned. just an electric arm. Joey Lucchese, who is a big talk kid, funk in his delivery. Ben Clayton Kershaw with the delivery, not the stuff, not anything else, just a little bit on the delivery. So I'll make sure clear on that. And then my buddy Tyler Maley, 55% owned. Joey Lucchese on CBS, only 14% owned. Tim, if you had, you know, you needed an extra pitcher, and all three of these guys are available on the FAB War, who would you be going after?
If all three were available, I'd be going after a San Diego Padre, because I think I could get him for a better price. I think the strikeout numbers could be comparable, and people are going to chase Lopez and Maley, name recognition. Joey, I think I could sneak through with a better bargain, and I wouldn't be surprised if he produces to the same level as the other two. As a matter of fact, I invested in him in tote, and he's only got one start this week, I believe, or his next start, anyhow, is at Mile High. And I'm going to take a chance and be very brave. I spent $70 on him today because I wanted that big southpaw arm. So let's see what he can do in Mile High, Rich.
So, Tim, very, very brave pitching him in Coors Field. Some would say a little nutty. But you're the great Tim McCloud.
Yes.
Let's see how it works out for you.
Yes, next week when you're talking me off the ledge because my ERA is 14.65, we can review my thought process. How's that, Rich?
Hey, when Lucchese was actually called up, when it was announced he was going to, I think it was like the third or fourth game of the year that he was called up, maybe the second game of the year, I liked him. He was one of my sleepers in the San Diego Padres organization, and that's saying a lot because there are a lot of players there. Again, he's not a top of the rotation guy, but a kid can pitch, and he's a big kid and really good control. I think he can do a lot worse. So that's a good one. The name here that shocked me, Timmy, is the next one on the list: Victor Martinez, 8% owned. 8% owned. Victor Martinez. Wow.
Yeah, I saw that and I said to myself, self, like he's got to be rosterable in AL-only leagues. And he isn't even rostered. He probably isn't rostered in AL-onlys. And, yeah, he can still hit. He's healthy right now. Why not take a chance in really deep and AL-only leagues? Take a chance on Victor. What's the worst that's going to happen? You spend a little bit of money and you cut him a couple weeks down the road.
Keenan Middleton, relief pitcher with Los Angeles. Timmy, I'll be honest with you, I don't know a lot about Mr. Middleton. Why don't you enlighten me?
Well, right now it's a bit of a mess. Bedrosian doesn't seem to be in favor, and probably because he's not pitching all that well. Parker's all over the place. I believe his ERA's in double digits. And Middleton has now thrown 6 shutout innings on the year and a save. And right about now, I'm favored in Anaheim to be getting more saves. So 18% owned, time to do some investing in young Mr. Middleton. My gut feeling is that a medium-level bid could procure some very nice save numbers over the balance of the year.
That's interesting, Timmy. Just bringing up his pitch FX, 97 miles an hour on the fastball. Ooh, doggies. He's a normal pitcher. Throws 97 as a reliever. So
average fastball, Rich. Average.
Yeah, average fastball, yep. Mike Minor pitched well against the Astros. And when you pitch well against the Astros, that's saying something, Tim.
Well, yeah, and the Jays they don't have a terrible offense. He's looked good. He's going up against Garrett Cole and the Astros. But at some point in time, he's going to pitch against somebody other than Houston, would be my guess, Rich. And from what we're seeing early on, he looks like he's the man in Texas this year. So I definitely wouldn't hesitate picking up Mike Minor. As a matter of fact, I think I've got him on tote and labor. I know definitely one of the two. I own Minor. I'm very happy with what I'm seeing early on.
Do you mind if we go back to the Astros real quick? You just mentioned them. I want to talk about somebody. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. Fire away, Rich.
If Brad Peacock was available in your league, would you pick him up given what Kenny Giles has done and what he did over the playoffs? And I mean, and Brad Peacock has just been money for a while now. See a guy that if he's floating around in your waiver wire, find a spot to pick him up.
Yeah, Chris Devensky and Brad Peacock should be owned in every league.
Yep. As Brad Peacock did pick up the save, I think it was last night, because then Ken Giles was not available. It's, you never like to hear that, Tim. So.
Well, no, I think he pitched back-to-back days and threw something like 165 pitches in the two games. So I guess he didn't want to reel him out for this or something like that.
I'm just saying, Timmy. I don't know. It just feels like that's a Tim McLeod move, where guy's struggling a little bit and there's a kid that's just lights out. And plus, I mean, they could, when any one of those starters gets hurt, he could be slid in there. It's a good pitcher. Colin Moran. Let's go to Colin Moran. We talked about him at the beginning of the season. Solid start, Timmy. It got off the first two or three games. It was tough, but the power is developing. He could always hit. It's a nice little player.
Yeah, and I think David Freese, who I thought originally would probably get more than his fair share of at bats, is reduced to the wrong side of that platoon, and probably trade baits even now. I don't see any reason to be hesitant about Moran when it comes to the threat of losing time to David Freese, which originally was one of my concerns. That concern has now disappeared.
Okay, Timmy, breaking up just a little bit, so hopefully sound like you're a little underwater, so maybe we're starting to get some creakies going on with Blog Talk Radio. Let's power through this. Chris Owens, you mentioned here. I'm just going to mention him, Timmy. 9-for-21 with a home run, stolen bases. He plays everywhere. Always a nice player to have on your team. Eduardo Rodriguez didn't have a great start today, Timmy, but we both love the arm.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned about today. I wasn't expecting him to go much more than three or four innings. Knock some of the rust off, get him active, get him ready to roll. As long as he made it through today healthy, and I haven't checked, I'm assuming he did, he could go a long way in helping your pitching rotation over the balance of the year, Rich.
Preston Tucker, we've mentioned in here, I think is a guy that you should be picking up. Christian Villanueva, Timmy, I think started off in the Boston Red Sox organization, always had a really good glove, never could hit. All of a sudden he hits three home runs and everybody's like, Christian Villanueva, I got to go pick him up.
Yeah, unless you're playing in leagues that retroactively adjust the stats, that three homer barrage, it's water under the bridge. But in deeper leagues, I'll throw a couple bucks down. I'm not going to pay a small fortune for him. He plays third base. Lots of options. I'd rather own Colin Moran, definitely. But in deeper leagues, he has my curiosity. And if you get him for the right price, it might be worth seeing what the kid can do.
Kirby Yates is a really great name, Timmy. Brad Hand, as you say, has a long leash. Kirby Yates is a nice little pitcher. And I think Brad Hand, I think his job is safe, but maybe there's an injury lurking in there. You just don't know.
Well, yeah, he had a couple rough outings early on, Hand did. And I know right now Yates is dealing with an ankle issue, if I'm not mistaken. But when you look at the San Diego bullpen, if there's anybody that I think you can possibly look to fill in should Hand, continue to struggle or slump, Kirby Yates is the guy you want. So, right now he's cheap. If Brad Hand implodes and has two, three bad outings this week, Kirby Yates isn't going to be cheap next weekend.
When we get back, Timmy, we're going to do our final segment, which is two start pitchers, and hopefully the music will start up. The music is not playing, so enjoy the music. And when we come back, we will do our to start pitchers in 3, 2, 1. And we're back, Timmy. I don't think there was any music.
No tunes at this end of the world. Not a one.
Okay. All right, Timmy, let's do a real quick abbreviated version of our two-star pitchers. I got a lot of names in here, but I'm going to just give you I'm going to give you four names, and I want you to tell me the two that you're most likely going to start. Homer Bailey at Philadelphia and Aaron Nolan versus and also home against St. Louis and Carlos Martinez. Joey Lucchesi at Colorado and home versus San Francisco and Johnny Cueto. Derek Collin, home at Zach Godley and at San Diego and Clayton Richards. And the last guy is a goodie, an oldie but goodie, Francisco Liriano at Cleveland and Corey Kluber and home against the Yankees and Jordan Montgomery. Which two would you start and which two would you sit?
Well, looking at all those names, I'm going to go with the guy, Joey with the cheese and Derek with the Holland.
Wow, that sounds like a delicious dinner there, Timmy. Cheese and hollandaise sauce. That sounds great.
Well, yeah, I've got tunnel vision tonight. That's why I went Holland.
So why Derek? I mean, I get Lucchesi, we talked about him, but why Derek Holland?
Well, when I look at, do I want Homer Bailey against Nola and Carlos Martinez? Well, what are the odds of a win there? The next, you know, you're looking at two top pitchers. You got some offense involved. You look at Holland. He's got Godley and Clayton Richard. You know, Arizona's offense, San Diego's offense. Yeah, they can score runs, but when you start looking at, say, Liriano, who's got the Yankees, it's a case of trying to pick who does the least damage. And that's why I went with the two that I went with. I think the offenses that they're pitching against have the potential to do less damage than some of the big guns.
Yeah, I agree with that. Your boy Brian Goodwin, Tim, just stole a base. So another reason to go pick him up. The other guy on the list I'd like to hear your thoughts on, and I've been waiting for this kid to finally do something, and he's finally doing it, Timmy. I don't know if it's real or Memorex, but Tyler Skaggs, two-star pitcher at Texas, and Martin Perez. Remember that trade for Martin Perez and was it Asdrubal Cabrera?
Yeah, I think that was, it was almost like a lose-lose.
Yeah, did anybody win that trade? That's for those of you who don't know, Tim traded me, Martin Perez, and I traded him Asdrubal Cabrera, I think. I don't own Martin Perez anymore, so I don't know if you own Asdrubal Cabrera. Maybe that will determine who won that trade.
Well, I was going to say, I own Asdrubal Cabrera still, but does that make me a winner or a loser, Rich?
it could be a loser. But Tyler Skaggs, it's short. It's only two games, so 11 innings pitched, 10 strikeouts, 2 walks. He's a lefty. Great pedigree, had Tommy John surgery, really, really struggled to come back from that. Sounds a lot like another pitcher we talked about earlier in the broadcast, but what do you think of Tyler Skaggs?
Yeah, I like what I'm seeing early. I like Skaggs a number of years ago, and I was all over him as he was coming up, and then the Tommy John, and it's been a long, slow road. But, you know, you look at his starts this week at Texas, Martin Perez, and that, you know, Eric Skoglund in Kansas City. And, you know, if you Google anemic offense, you get a picture of the Kansas City Royals starting nine. It's not pretty, is it?
No, not at all, Timmy. I agree with you there. I like Skaggs. I actually like him going forward. I think I'm going to play him against some of the weaker teams. I don't know if I throw him up against the Houston Astros. But for weaker teams, and I mean, Texas is not what they used to be, even at Texas early in the season, too. That's tough. It's not usually a tough matchup, but definitely at Kansas City. So I'm going to play him in that two-star matchup.
Yeah, I would. I think it's a good call. He looks like he's ready to roll. And when you look at the offenses he's going up against, especially Casey, you got to take advantage of those situations, Rich.
So, Tim, as we close off today's show, again, great show. Really, Tim, you just brought the stuff. The waiver wire stuff is just awesome. what, give me just, or give our listeners just one final kind of thought for the day. You're struggling, maybe you're in a head-to-head league and you're just not doing well. Rotisserie, you're in 14th out of 15th place. Words of encouragement or just some thoughts that maybe somebody should be thinking about and looking at as we, you know, we're 2 weeks into the season here.
Well, you know, I think it's very important for those people that are struggling, Rich, to realize that it's, you know, only 3 months until fantasy football time.
Yeah, that really is. And that pretty much goes with the Tim's state of mind today. The complete great encouragement, just give up. And I would concur, particularly if you're in one of the dynasty leagues that I play in, just give up.
Right. Yeah, like, why continue? Okay, it's over. Move on to fantasy lawn darts, whatever you need to work.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, Timmy, where will you be next Sunday? You'll be back home, right?
Yes, I will be home. I will be home on Friday. I've got maybe another 700 miles, 800 miles, and I'll be home. And hopefully by then I've got the laundry done, Rich, along with my article for next weekend. But it's been a wonderful trip, and I have so many people to thank. I'm at the stage now where I'm actually looking forward to getting home, Rich. I've started to get a little tired. As much as I perceive myself to be in pretty good shape for the shape I'm in, I'm still not in that good of shape. So I need to get off the road and put my feet up a little bit and relax. But to everybody out there who I have met, it has been absolutely wonderful. And if I haven't thanked you, it's not because I wasn't appreciated. It was just there's so many people to thank. And be well, my friends, and we'll talk to you from good old Port Francis, 100 miles north of nowhere, next weekend.
And with that, Timmy, we'll talk to you next Sunday. Everybody, good luck with your teams. Unless you're playing against Tim or myself, then no good luck. Later, Tim.
Then you look to football, Rich. Be well.
Exactly. Be well.